Letitia Stauch went on trial for the murder of her 11-year-old stepson, Gannon Stauch, on April 3, 2023. The trial of Letitia lasted 5 weeks, 5 weeks in which her defense would pull out every stop in the book to try and support their not guilty by reasons of insanity plea. Her defense attorney would bring up everything possible, from an alleged abusive childhood that Letitia endured, from physical abuse to emotional abuse to even sexual abuse as well, linking all of this to alleged mental health issues. While it seemed that every day would bring bombshell after bombshell, there was one consistent theme that was present every single day of trial. And that was that it really didn't matter what Letitia's defense team was talking about that day. She was always the victim. The judge, the jury, and quite frankly, the entire country saw straight through this, in my opinion, BS facade. And while there is no such thing as true justice served in cases like this, we all hope to see the closest form of justice served. And that is what we are going to be talking about today, the trial of Letitia Stauch and all the craziness that came with it. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for clicking on my podcast. If you are a returning True Crime BFF, hey, girl, hey, I'm so glad to have you back. And if you are new here, hi, my name is Mae Keatles, and this is the Dark Deeds Podcast. Here on the Dark Deeds Podcast, we dive deep into criminal minds, both past and present. So if you are looking for a true crime podcast that goes beyond the headlines and focuses on the importance of justice for victims, well, my friend, you've come to the right place. This is the Dark Deeds Podcast. I'm Mae Keatles. Let's dive right in. Letitia Stauch's trial opened with prosecutor Mike Allen giving incredible detail into the brutal attack that 11-year-old Gannon had endured, allegedly at the hand of his own stepmother. Now, the state was not there to prove whether or not Letitia had committed this crime. They were simply there to prove that she was in her right state of mind when deciding to commit this crime, and obviously in her right state of mind thereafter. The prosecution came hard for Letitia's defense right from the jump, acknowledging that Letitia was in her right mind at the time she committed this crime, and really emphasizing the proof being the fact that she was so aware of her wrongness that she went to any length possible to attempt to cover up what she had done to Gannon. Now, if you're not familiar with this case, I highly recommend to go watch this video. I will have it pop up right here. It will go through essentially a really in-depth deep dive. Letitia spun wild lie after wild lie. There was literally nothing off limits to this woman. And during her sentencing, the judge would shoot Letitia pretty straight, stating that he has presided over many cases involving mental health issues. And in the ones specifically with the issues that Letitia allegedly had, these people with associative identity disorder, or multiple personality disorder as it used to be called, typically are extremely frantic because they have gaps of time, large gaps of time in which they don't know where they were, and they become very nervous. They genuinely don't have a recollection of what they've done. They are not able to formulate lies and build these intricate webs to cover up a crime that they committed while acting as a different personality. Gannon's father, Al, and Gannon's mother, Landon, were present for every minute of every single day of this trial. In an interview given right after the trial ended, Landon said that she actually made eye contact with Letitia, not once, but actually several times over the course of these 5 weeks. And this just really upset her, and I can completely understand why. She said in the interview that she really didn't understand how Letitia could even look over at her. And I think it's just to show the callousness that Letitia had and the complete lack of remorse to even be able to look in the general direction where you know for certain that Al and Landon will be sitting. Just complete disrespect, in my opinion. One thing I found just particularly interesting was the way that the prosecution highlighted the moments where Al started to realize that Letitia was not being fully honest with him, nor was she being honest with the police. On the second day of trial, the prosecution brought up that Al had actually left the sheriff's office and then went on a solo search for Gannon. Now, the solo search in general was strange because he had previously been at the sheriff's office with Letitia. So why she didn't accompany him, I'm sure, in that moment was a little off. And why she didn't accompany him after leaving the sheriff's office, I'm not sure. But I guarantee you it was probably one of the first early indicators that something about Letitia was just not right. Now, it's said that Al had actually left and searched for Gannon solo, and after that had decided to go look for the car where Letitia had said that she left it. However, when he arrived at that location, the car wasn't there. And it was in that moment, it is said, that he knew wherever that car was. In his gut, he felt that that's where the body of his son would be. Now, the entire 5 weeks really, in my opinion, centered around the proof, the undeniable proof, that Letitia knew that what she did to Gannon was wrong. While on the other side of things, we had the defense really trying to kind of paint Letitia out to be this victim and really pull on the heartstrings of the jury, trying to get sympathy for Letitia, trying to get them to buy into the fact that she had a mental health issue. Now, Letitia's defense would claim that she had dealt with abuse since she was a toddler, claiming that her mother was very promiscuous and that her mother as well had been abused. They would also claim that Letitia had been physically, sexually, and emotionally abused as well. This is what the defense would use to frame out their insanity plea, claiming that it was due to her rough childhood that she now exhibited the symptoms and traits of associative identity disorder, or multiple personality disorder, which is what I thought it was called up until very recently. The defense would make a claim that I think is just, in my opinion, it's just ridiculous. They would claim that Letitia actually murdered Gannon, and the act of her murdering Gannon due to her associative identity disorder was her actually murdering the demons from her childhood. By the second week of trial, the jury was getting a really good feel for the violence that Letitia was truly capable of, with GoPro footage showing Letitia attempting to escape from custody and physically assaulting an officer, and then very detailed breakdowns of the actual crime scene itself. The jury would be presented several forensic psychologists' opinions, one of which was Dr. Jackie Grimmett. Dr. Grimmett performed her evaluation in December of 2020. During the eval with Dr. Grimmett, Letitia informed her that she had actual vampires visiting her jail cell. Now, as crazy as that sounds, it's only going to get more ridiculous from here. She would then detail the names of these vampires, names that are copy-paste from the series Twilight. Now, we all know Letitia sucks at lying. She genuinely is incapable of being creative even with her lies. None of them ever make sense, and they never fall in line with the lies she's told previously. It's always one new reality versus another reality that she has attempted to sell people on. And this did not change in her evaluations. Dr. Grimmett is no fool, and she saw straight through Letitia, leaving remarks that she felt that Letitia was feigning her way through much of the evaluation. Dr. Leandra Torres would be the second forensic psychologist to evaluate Letitia. And this eval took place twice, one in 2020 and one in 2022. Dr. Torres stated that from 2020 to 2022, Letitia's story had changed. Letitia had detailed to her that she was sexually assaulted as a young child, and in 2020, she was 12 years old at the time that these assaults started taking place. And by 2022, she had informed her that she was actually 9 years old. Dr. Torres would testify that it was her belief that Letitia actually did suffer from mental health issues. However, it wasn't associative identity disorder. She had diagnosed her with borderline personality disorder and narcissism, and narcissistic features in August of 2020. During conversations with Dr. Torres, Letitia actually began talking to her about an accidental shooting, claiming that she shot someone who was wearing a cape, and only after she shot this someone did she realize that the person wearing a cape was Gannon. Letitia stated to Dr. Torres that she would have never intentionally hurt Gannon, and that at the time of this shooting, she was going in and out of her multiple personalities. She even went as far as to tell Dr. Torres that in that moment, she believed she could resurrect Gannon and bring him back from the dead. Now, despite Letitia's attempts to persuade Dr. Torres into believing that she was mentally insane, Dr. Torres also saw straight through this and believed that Letitia was sane at the time she committed the crime. Naturally, what we see in all trials similar to this, the defense brought in their own experts. And the defense's expert came in the form of Dr. Dorothy Lewis. Dr. Lewis would testify that right and wrong are abstract concepts. She then went on to describe Letitia's behavior as, quote, crazy and not, quote, logical or smart. During this interview with Dr. Lewis, Letitia began switching her personalities, and she began to refer to herself as Maria, and another personality that she seemed to possess in this one interview was the person named Taylor. Letitia was desperate to sell Dr. Lewis on this idea that she had multiple personalities, so she sprinkled in a little bit of an accent on Maria, claiming that she only shot Gannon because she thought he was an intruder. Now, obviously, I think it's important to know Dr. Lewis was contracted by the defense. Now, I assume that they want their experts to be honest, right? But when the defense is paying you or when the prosecution is paying you, you kind of have to have like a really solid backbone to kind of go against them. So Dr. Lewis in this situation went right along with what the defense wanted to hear. And while it appears that Dr. Lewis bought what Letitia was selling, hook, line, and sinker, the rest of us, not so much. Now, during closing arguments, the prosecution would really focus on pointing out the brutality of Gannon's murder and the lengths that Letitia went to try and conceal her involvement in it. The prosecution really focused on the premeditation aspect and the judgment of Letitia, really pushing the jury to see how far Letitia had gone to mislead investigators, showing that she had the wherewithal to recognize that she would get in trouble for this. She was not clinically insane. She knew what she did was wrong at the time she did it, and that is why she did everything she did after that. The defense took a bit of, in my opinion, a strange approach in trying to get their closing arguments across. They claimed that because there was no realistically logical reason for Letitia to take Gannon's life, the only conclusion the jury could come to was that Letitia killed him because she was insane, informing the jury that it must have been a psychosis that made Letitia do something this heinous, and stating that the brutality of what happened to Gannon was fact enough to prove this. Letitia Stalk's jury consisted of 7 men and 5 women. The jury came back unanimous, guilty of her first-degree murder charges and also guilty of her tampering with evidence charges as well. Judge Warner did not take any sympathy on Letitia whatsoever during her sentencing, giving her life without the possibility of parole on the 2 counts of first-degree murder and an additional 13 and a half years for the tampering with evidence. Judge Warner did not stop there, though, and I'm honestly really glad that he didn't. He said what I think many of us were thinking and pretty much called her out for her audacity in even entering an insanity plea. He let her know that just by even simply pursuing this angle of a defense was a disrespect to literally anyone who struggles with mental health issues, reminding her and everyone in that courtroom that the vast majority of people who do have mental health issues Letitia's defense would claim that she suffered with are not violent people. And the victim impact statements at this trial were just honestly so moving. Al really broke my heart with his, and he seemed to get pretty fired up there because he even asked the judge to strip Letitia of his last name. And the fact that Letitia even still uses his last name is just another sign of her complete lack of remorse and complete disrespect of Al and Landon both. Letitia Stalk will no longer be out grabbing coffee or allowed to eat out at restaurants anymore. She will spend the absolute rest of her life in jail, and I hope she has the dirtiest cell there, if I'm being quite honest. I will say it is nice to have some closure to this case. I remember when Gannon first went missing. It's just nice to see someone sentenced for this heinous crime. And it is just so sad that his mother and father now have to continue to live without him. And I'm sure while this case may have some closure for them now, it's never going to be true closure, because true closure would be having their son back, their son who should be getting ready to take his driver's license permit this next year. I mean, Gannon should be about 14 years old now. It's just so sad that his family is never going to get to watch him grow up. He was their only son, and it's just absolutely tragic. But I am grateful for what closure is able to be given from our justice system, and I'm honestly just grateful that Letitia didn't walk on this one, because far too often we see guilty people walk. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Dark Deeds. If you haven't subscribed yet, I would greatly appreciate it if you do. I post new episodes every Thursday, and I have been trying to post a bonus episode on Tuesday. So if you enjoyed this true crime content, feel free to hit that subscribe button. I would love to have you join the family. Thank y'all so much again for listening, and I will see y'all next week on the next episode.